everybody. I am your host, Adam, and you are listening to episode number 39 of the Zelda Working Title Podcast. And we've also got Alex, Josh, and Matt. What's up, everybody?
Hey. Let me just say real fast, get this in there. Send us your emails to WTPodcast@gmail.com. Also, starting now, we're going to do this every week. We've decided.
Yes.
That's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure, but you know, I think that the listeners deserve it. All the pressure.
And some structure. Some structure is in order.
Yeah, we've been gone for like. Yeah.
Now, and we do this all the time. We don't want to disappoint. We've come up with a schedule. We got a team, we got interns. We got a whole team working in the back room that's going to make
they're
going to make this happen.
Every 5 minutes.
They're going to make this happen, okay?
Now bring it back with urine in it, just like how I like it.
Look, so what happened was we had a bunch of Chinamen that we outsourced to.
Chinamen.
Yeah, we haven't done it for the last 6 or 7 podcasts. That hasn't been us.
And you know what happened?
A new show, called Outsourced has come on since we've done our last podcast.
Well, no. So apparently, you can't just keep Chinamen in a closet. You actually have to feed and bathe them.
Yeah.
And they all died, and it took us a month and a half to get rid of
them. That is not what they tell you on the box. They say...
Apparently, you're supposed... I thought you could just give them, like, a flake of rice or something.
But that's all they deserve, okay?
Not
they were doing a shitty job anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't have to come under the same pressure, because I'm still just technically a guest speaker. So, what if you guys did it, like, bi-weekly? Like, every 2 weeks? That would kind of take the pressure off.
Huh? Nah. No. Every week. We got to do it every week, okay?
How about just every day? Every day.
Yeah, maybe
we come home,
Josh.
We eat some dinner, get some coffee.
Josh can take it leisurely. He can do it every 2 weeks, whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening to him. Okay? For the people that. Yeah. For the opinions that people want, me, you know, I got to do this every week.
But Adam and Alex, too, can do it by
I mean, they'll be here. They don't have anything better to do. You know, I don't know if looked. The suicide rates went up 85% while we weren't doing podcasts.
That's
well,
just
I
terrible.
Thought you were actually going to like say something serious, but okay.
That was serious. Oh, suicide's
suicide is serious, Josh.
Can we make a joke about the Rutgers suicide, or is that too?
It's
soon?
It's too soon. Too soon to not be making jokes. You want to make jokes fresh, cutting edge. You know, so get your jokes in now, Alex, while you can, before everyone forgets about that jump.
Jokes.com. Upload your jokes. Download some jokes.
Actually, the girl that she didn't kill him, but she you know,
helped film the thing.
Yeah, she's cute, and
oh my god!
And you know, she's going to hopefully. I can imagine a porn scenario in prison.
Oh, conjugal visit.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I would do her.
I guess if we're making jokes on the expense of, at the expense of those responsible for the tragedy, then that's
yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of which,
oh yeah, definitely.
Definitely. What'd you guys do for 9/11 this year?
I never forgot.
Prayed.
No, there's no fucking God.
I was in Philadelphia.
Oh, was that the chiptune show?
Yeah, the chiptune show. Yeah.
How was it?
It was awesome. I got wasted and danced.
Like a rave.
Did you think you were Scott Pilgrim?
But you didn't stay. You didn't stay for Anna Monoguchi because you're a bitch.
No, that was the night before.
Oh, okay.
That was the night before. And no, I didn't stay because I had my friend out with me. I needed to take her
home.
Whoa!
No, not that kind of friend.
Wait, just what kind of friend? As in just you sleep with her once and then you dump her by the side of the road?
No. Yeah, I need to take her home, and by home I meant the side of the road.
By home I meant Main Street.
Yeah, by home I meant the curb.
Oh, God.
No. She's the daughter of an old family friend, and
How old is she?
She kind of got like... She was like, can I come? And I was like,
I didn't ask you for the story. How old is she?
She's 19?
I could drive down
Josh!
There.
Josh!
What?
So young.
I know.
No, it's legal. It's legal.
It's legal.
I could... Wait. Philly's like an hour from here. What's the address? Is she cute?
Oh. Yeah, she's actually... the last time I saw her, she was like 9 years old.
Oh, jeez.
So she's probably gotten a lot uglier since then. A lot more unattractive to someone like you. A.K.A. pedophile.
Right.
Thank you for clarifying.
Well, I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that Josh is legally... He's required.
You know, because not everybody does know. Right.
Yeah. Anywho. Video games.
So... Let's talk about them. Matt, what video games have you been playing? Because apparently you have actually been playing some.
Yeah, guys, I like video games again.
this is good news.
You're on
a podcast that talks about.
Yeah,
video games.
I went out the day after Halo Reach came out. I went to Best Buy, picked myself up a copy. Played through the first couple levels of that, then my Xbox broke again. So,
is it a Red Ring?
Yeah, it's gone. There's no way.
Is it a newer version?
No. See, this thing, my Xbox broke 3 times under warranty, and Microsoft never replaced it. They just fixed it every time. Uh-huh. And so you figured after the second time when it broke and they fixed it, you know, it's not. They know it's not going to actually fix it. They're just waiting for my warranty to end so that they can get money for that.
Of course. Right.
So at this point, I'm not going to send it back in. I'm not going to pay anybody to fix it because it's going to break again in a month. So I'm just going to have to buy one of the new ones eventually.
Our friend Alan actually fixed his Red Ring. I think he opened it up and like re-soldered it for pretty cheap.
No, I've had that done.
Oh, yeah?
It's screwed. From the guy, he lives right down the street, and he's a friend of Nick's brother. He was explaining to me how it works, and eventually... You can't fix it anymore. It's not worth it.
That sucks.
So, yeah. So, I don't have an Xbox, and I probably won't have one for a long time.
The folly of youth.
But I have, on my PS3, I bought Metal Gear Solid 4. It was on sale for $10.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah. And
that has depreciated quite a bit.
It is amazing. It's the best one. I beat it.
Following our cutscene discussion, how did you like the movie that is Metal Gear Solid 4?
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
It could be because, I mean, there's fun gameplay in between of the movies. And there's way more movies in that game because it's got to tie up the story for the whole series.
Ah.
Yeah, it ties up the story not only for Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, but also Metal Gear Solid 3, which took place in the 60s. So they had quite a job on their hands. And
you don't have a PSP, do you?
No.
So you haven't gotten Peace Walker?
No, I would never get that.
Well, I mean, it was supposed to be the fifth of the series.
Not really, because there is no more meta. I mean, Snake, at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, spoiler alert, Snake's done.
No!
There's no more. Yet. He doesn't die.
It's been like 2 years since the game came out.
He doesn't die, but Snake is definitely... He retires at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4.
He gets really, really old.
He is really old. There's no way he can continue. I mean, if you didn't...
He fights in a wheelchair.
Otacon sleeps with him forever.
Yeah.
Gross.
Just that's the last it's scene. Sweet. It's just... Yeah.
It's fun for the whole family.
Yeah. No, but it was a great game. It was a satisfying ending to the series, and I'm sad that I didn't play it earlier, but I'm glad I got it for $10. It's a great price.
Cool.
And then the other game I've been playing is Uncharted, Drake's Fortune.
Very good.
The first Very Uncharted good. Game. And I played the... I loved Uncharted 2, as I've talked about on the podcast. It's a really fun game. Uncharted 1, not a fun game. The only reason why I'm playing through it is now, at this point, is because I played the second one, and I'm like, how does the story tie in? But the first one is... Or, sorry, the second one's, like, fast-paced, and it has, like, an interesting story. The first one is a lot
Isn't
of...
Is the girl hotter in the second one, too?
It's the same girls in the second one. Well, not...
Oh.
The black-haired girl isn't in the first one, but the blonde one is.
Right. That's what I meant.
I don't know. Just whatever. Take your pick. I don't care. She's not real. but the first one is... it's a lot of walking around. There's a lot more gunfights that aren't fun because you only have basically the same two guns the entire game. There's not really much of a story. You're just kind of like looking for a treasure or something. I don't know. It's kind of boring, and the gun battles are really tedious and often. I don't know. It's I guess none of you have played it, so I was.
Right, but you're like the first person I've ever heard of saying anything negative about the first game, but you're also the only person I know who's played the second game first.
Yeah, but so. I mean, I'd imagine it wouldn't. There's nothing. It's like kind of like Tomb Raider, but with a cover-based gun system. But also, just not very fun. I don't know. The second one, go play the second one. Don't play the first. Skip it.
Oh, did you guys see that Nathan Fillion might be Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movie?
Actually, I was just reading about that last night, and some people are saying that he might be too old for that.
What?
Because the dude's almost 40. You know?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
He's Nathan Fillion.
It's like between him and some other guy from like Stargate Atlantis.
Who watches that? Nathan Fillion all the way.
A bunch of people are on IMDb, because I was looking up the movie. A bunch of people on IMDb were saying that like it should be. It's going to be a hard movie to sell if Nathan Fillion plays, because he's relatively unknown aside from his cult status as like Malcolm Reynolds. So they were thinking, and he would be too old. So they were thinking some people were thinking that it should be like Bradley Cooper or Ryan Reynolds.
And then make it a terrible movie. That's
Sounds
like a good idea. Right. I know. I'm all about Nathan Fillion. So
So listeners, make it so.
How?
David O. Russell. If you're listening.
Nathan Fillion tweeted something. I forget what it said, but like he was calling out to all the Firefly fans, all the Castle fans, to make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if like he had a link to follow, but apparently he was asking all his fans to do it.
And apparently he's going to be Ant-Man. Like really? Joss Whedon is directing the Avengers movie.
Actually, that'd be really cool. He would actually make a good.
And he would make a fantastic Avengers movie, and And he might be playing Hank Pym.
Cool.
So. Hank Pym, I don't see Nathan Fillion as a wife beater.
Did you watch Dr. Horrible?
No.
Guys, you heard it here. Hank Hill being played by Nathan Fillion, live action. I'm excited.
Okay.
That's it. Yep.
Moving on.
Hank Hill.
Alex.
There's a list here.
There is a list.
Yeah, better look at it. So I've been busy. I've been masturbating.
That's great.
Game one.
I like how you spelled Arkham in that list, Adam.
Arkham, yeah.
I can never spell it right.
There's a K.
How you spell it? Does it have a K?
You need to get your life together, Grayson.
Whatever.
So I beat Arkham Asylum. I beat Half-Life 2. I beat episode 1 of Half-Life 2 episode 1. I beat Braid. I tried to pick up Team Fortress 2 and I suck at it. Probably cuz I haven't played enough of it. And I'm currently playing Mass Effect.
You have been busy.
So I've been pretty busy.
So okay, we know you've been playing Mass Effect. Tell them which lady you chose in Mass Effect.
I hope I chose Liara. I want to sleep with a blue chick. Because
nice.
Because Ashley is cross-eyed.
See, I went with Ashley because she's racist. She hates aliens, and that's what I like.
But like that was actually a turnoff for me. Her being a fucking racist, a xenophobe, I guess is the best term.
Right.
And and she was religious, which was the other problem for me. Because I'm an atheist.
Yeah, but Shepard's not. Shepard quite clearly is not.
No, Shepard is...
You are Shepard.
So you can choose whether to say, like, this is ridiculous, or, well, I accept it, or I believe in it. And I chose, like,
oh,
well,
God.
If you believe what you want
to
believe.
Okay, Alex, you got to buy one. I just linked you to the new Fleshlight Alien
edition. The Fleshlight.
Oh, my gosh.
Alex, you got to buy one of these, and you know what to do when that scene comes up.
Oh, what?
Oh, my God, this is terrible.
Can I'm you, checking this out.
Can you explain?
Oh.
Can you explain
Whoa.
What I posted?
Oh,
can you,
God.
Oh, that's terrible.
Please, somebody explain
that's
what I posted.
Terrible.
Just Google Fleshlight Alien.
Don't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's.
You know, I had seen an ad for this movie.
Which
the
is.
Hustler's parody of.
This ain't Avatar XXX.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were calling Avatar.
So it's same. Actually a movie?
It's actually a movie, yeah.
And it's in 3D, and you use the Fleshlight along with it.
Jesus.
Is it a 3D Fleshlight?
There's a video you could watch.
Oh, no.
No, we'll do that. I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah, if anybody wants to put some money, give some money to WTPodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
For
a PayPal
a Fleshlight. And we'll what we'll do
it's
is...
It's only $74.95.
We'll buy...
Holy shit.
We'll buy one...
The movie or the Fleshlight?
The Fleshlight.
Oh, my God.
We'll buy one, and then we'll share
wait,
it.
Wait, what was...
We'll
what was
look at the way it's ribbed inside.
Oh, God.
Feel good?
I'm more horrified by the lady's face in this.
Yeah.
Would you guys mind sharing, like... Mailing it once you're done?
You can take it out and wash it.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
As long as you washed it.
Okay, that means Josh Josh gets to go last. He gets in last.
Look at this thing. Does that look like something you want to...
No.
I don't know, man. Beam me up.
I don't know.
Okay, no more...
Go where no manhood has gone before. past the strangely alluring... Double clitoris of
all
the alien
new alien
vagina.
Texture.
This mesmerizing pearlescent blue alien begs to beam you up for a close encounter of the preferred kind.
That's terrible. Oh
That's
my
horrible
God.
Writing. There should be a disclaimer on this episode.
Oh.
NC-17.
Oh no, there Jeez. Should be this is for our families to learn together.
Alien
For
sex.
Centuries, man has wondered if he was alone.
If he's been alone, yeah.
He's looked to the stars for the answers to one question.
Tonight we find out. I'd rather take the girls. I don't know about
that's
the
either
alien.
The best description ever or the worst description ever. Probably the best.
Oh God! That
all right. So, Alex, anything more on what you've been playing? Mass Effect.
Mass Effect is a great... It's a great writing. I was actually really surprised how well it's written.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little too much talking, but it's... If you have the time for it, or if you put aside the time for it, it's a lot of fun.
How long did it take you to beat it?
I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm like 10 hours or 12 hours in. The thing is,
Okay.
So, right... I left the spaceport, the Citadel, and then I got, like, I was... They don't really tell you how to play the game too well. There's no real...
there's no, like, tutorial level?
There's no real good tutorial on it. And, like, the instructions they do give you aren't very helpful. And I started off as a... I should have started off as a soldier, but I started off as a vanguard. So I got biotic powers.
I never used biotic powers. I don't even know what they do.
They sort of suck. Like, some of them are good... Like, there's one power where you can lift a bunch of guys. That's really good. But it's not all that useful. Like, I think it'd be better for me to be able to take out a sniper rifle and just shoot everybody. And,
right.
I probably should have just done that. But I figured, oh well.
Ow, fuck.
You're right there, you're straining something.
Yeah.
He was using his Fleshlight Alien.
I was using my Alien Fleshlight. Yeah.
But Mass Effect is definitely a great game. Arkham Asylum was a fantastic game. I went back and played it twice.
What are you playing these on PC, or did you get a 360?
PC. It actually, so here's the thing. Arkham Asylum looks better on looks a lot better and runs better on PC than on 360.
That's not really a surprise.
Can't imagine that the combo system would be that fun on the PC, though. I can't even imagine. Because I played it for a minute at PAX last year, but I was just walking around. I didn't get to any fights.
Because
it was in 3D it was weird.
It takes a little getting used to. But the fighting's actually... So the primary attack is the left mouse button, and then the parry or the... not the block, but the...
I know what you mean.
It's the right mouse button. And you do WASD for controls. It took a little getting used to orient yourself, but because you can change the view using the mouse. But it gets to be a lot of fun because you sort of point where you want to kick the next guy's ass. Like after you get to a combo of three, you just start hitting really hard and you just sort of pick the next one to hit.
Yeah.
But it becomes really intuitive. It becomes really fluid. So I got used to that a lot quicker than with Mass Effect, actually. So, and Braid is a great game. I've been doing a lot of reading on what people's interpretation of the game is, and what the actual guy who made the game, he's sort of a dick in some ways. Like, he was saying that people's there are wrong interpretations, or... I guess I understand why he says it. There's interpretations some are better than others. So I don't know if any of you have played it.
Nope.
No.
Yep.
I've played the demo and seen parts.
Wait, so Josh did play it. So did you think there was a meaning or wrong meaning or?
I haven't beat it. I got halfway through it and. One, lost time, and two, started to get really stumped by it, and thus not able to spend more time on it.
Exactly what happened to me with the Fleshlight Alien.
right. Which is why I think our internet cut out. I think Cox was punishing us.
Well, you just had to say it, because nobody knew until now. You just broke the fourth wall. It was just seamless editing that I do, Josh.
Oh.
I like how you're talking about your seamless editing before you've actually edited it.
Right.
No, I'm editing it right now. As people are listening to it, I'm just constantly editing. And we're also recording this live. You know that.
Right.
So.
And then if it doesn't get recorded correctly, we could end up being stuck in this recording forever.
Right.
That's not so.
But then that's when we use our time machine.
No, that's when you just play a song and kick us back up to the next level of editing.
Oh. Yes. That's what I do.
Right.
Inception, guys. Anyway, I don't know. Alex, what was your take on Braids? Brad.
I don't think it's about an atom bomb. Everybody
explain to people why that interpretation is there.
So towards the game story starts off, basically your main character is Tim and you're looking for this princess that you lost.
Timmy!
And I'm not going to give out more than that in terms of the main plot, but the plot progresses by before you go to each world, you read a page from a story and it's supposed to explain a little more of your situation. And at the very end of the game, you come across a bunch of texts and you sort of read these things, and one of the texts is, or one or a couple of the texts are from passages about the the dropping of the first atom bomb. The Manhattan Project, right? And many of the less intelligent interpretations have just said, well, the game is about the dropping of the atom bomb, and haven't really elaborated.
Isn't Tim a student from a science student from Yale or something?
No, he isn't. That's the thing. It doesn't really give you much detail about Tim. The game itself says, I guess, Tim is described as a very analytical person, a scientist, and
if you will.
if you will. Yeah, I guess that's the best way of putting it. But you're not. But
you don't actually know if he is a scientist.
You don't, because it sort of changes. Like the story isn't told very coherently, so it jumps around quite a bit. I played through the game twice just to hopefully get more of the story out of it, and it seems less about for me, it seems less important that the story was about, you know, what happens in the beginning, middle, and the end, and more about, like, there's morals to it. And I got the moral to be, the theme of the game mostly, it was based on perceptions and time. That when you see something in one, you could see something in one way, and then over a period of time, when you have more experience and understanding of how the world works, you can look at the same situation completely differently. And the game plays on that throughout, the entire game plays on that. On that idea, essentially, and it fits the idea fits the quotations nicely. It also fits into the gameplay sort of nicely, and it fits into the different stories nicely. But that was sort of my take on the whole thing. But the game's been out for so long now. There's a lot of different interpretations on the web. Some really intelligent ones where people have referenced a lot of literature and so forth, that are worth looking into, but like there are
or you could screw all those interpretations and just watch Soulja Boy's review of Braid, right?
I haven't seen it.
Basically a
he says
it's basically Soulja Boy playing Braid and him and his friends like just laughing about it.
He's like, some funny shit, man. It's just like this guy. He's like a little guy in a suit. He's like jumping, and you kill him, and then he comes back. Ah!
It's hilarious.
Basically, it is hilarious.
I showed a friend of mine who doesn't play video games. Like the music's really nice, and I showed her like the trailer of the game. And the first thing she goes is, she goes like, "Why is there a guy in a suit just jumping on one of those Goombas?" Nice. And that's it's a very quaint game. If you ignore, you could ignore the story completely, which you probably should, and just play the game for what it is. And it's a really clever platformer, and it's a very hard puzzle game. It's not impossible though, but it's very hard. It requires you to really think.
Did you stay and do like those really hard extras that take like hours to do?
No, I know what the extras are, but I don't. One of them requires you to like stand on a cloud for 2 hours, and not move.
I think it's more than that, actually.
Maybe I'm wrong. I wasn't gonna leave my damn machine off for 2 hours. Probably gonna do like, come back in 30 minutes, do the one thing, jump on the cloud, and then let it go for another 2 hours while I'm like, I don't know. You can't even alt tab out of it. So,
really,
because the game would stop if I alt tabbed. So I can't like go watch porn for 2 hours. Maybe I'll.
You can't put it in like winded mode.
Well, maybe what you could do is you could order the fleshlight, the alien fleshlight, right, and then keep yourself entertained that way.
Okay, just right. How
about
this? It
comes with a DVD.
Buy the Fleshlight Alien Edition. Forget about video games.
You could do that too.
You don't need them.
You could do that too.
Well, yeah.
Life's your game, and you just won by ordering a Fleshlight Alien. Do you think we could get sponsored by Fleshlight?
We should definitely contact them.
Do you think they would? Yeah, could we? Do you think they would send us free Fleshlight?
Hopefully.
Oh God.
Hopefully.
one could dream.
One can hope. One can only hope.
All right, let's move on. Josh, what have you
been
playing?
This has been a very, very long introduction. I've been playing Halo Reach online with you, and having good days and bad days. Days when I want to kill everything and days when I feel like happy unicorns.
Well, let's talk about that one game that was awesome in which we pwned that one SWAT game.
Oh yeah.
So SWAT is a game type.
A memory that I will hold dearly in my
SWAT is a game type where you don't have shields, and what that means is if you get a headshot, it's a one hit kill. Otherwise, you get shot like maybe 3 or 4 times and you're dead. So it's very, very hectic. And we were playing in the same game type called multi team. So it was like 6 teams of 2 people. Josh and I, of course, were on a team versus 10 other people, and we managed to win in like maybe the last 30 seconds by I think like less than 5 kills.
Yeah, it was two or three. It was a margin of 2 or 3.
Super, super hectic, but we kind of owned, and it was awesome.
We did. It was good.
So happy for you guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Although when I did play Halo Reach for the few days I had it, I found the jetpacks very fun.
The jetpacks are very fun.
I enjoyed the jetpacks. As far as jetpack games go, you don't have
what about pilot wings?
You have a dark void. That's about
pilot
it.
Wings.
That's all I can think.
Pilot wings.
Okay, pilot wings, dark void, and Halo Reach. So, if you're looking for a new next gen jetpack game, then check out Halo Reach.
Pilot wings 3DS.
Do you think they'll make a Fleshlight Halo edition? Like Cortana?
Oh man, that would be hot.
How would you even do that? It's a hologram.
Yeah, I don't know. Light.
Okay, I'm not one of the...
You'd be burning your dick.
Not one of the Fleshlight scientists?
I'm not one of the geniuses that works...
No, it would just be blue, like the Avatar one.
But it's a hologram.
Hey.
Like, Navi are real people, you know? They have, like,
maybe
flesh,
it would just
maybe
it would just be see-through with, like, that pattern printed on it. I don't know, it would just be like
a motherboard. You know, you just kind of touch it and you get electrocuted.
I don't imagine that being too pleasurable, rubbing your penis on a motherboard.
Maybe when we're sponsored by them, they'll also take some of our suggestions for new products, okay?
there you go.
Everyone, right, please email Fleshlight. Tell them about our podcast. Tell them that we're big fans.
We're big fans of your work. And want to see if we can work out something where both parties can benefit. Yeah. No, I played a little bit of Mass Effect, the first one. I did not make the mistake that Alex did. I started out as a soldier. Did you pick
Liara or Ashley?
I was gunning for Liara, but I didn't get far enough. So I only played like the first couple of missions.
So I guess I'm the only one. I think everyone picks Liara. I picked Ashley.
She's fucking cross-eyed.
She's racist.
I wanted to see is it possible to pull off both?
No.
No, no, it's not.
No, I looked into that already. You can't do both.
You can't do both.
No.
I see.
When you get to choose between Kevin and Ashley, I definitely killed Kevin because I hated that guy.
Oh, no. I really like Kevin.
His name is Caden.
Whatever.
By the way, Kevin's what I call him because I don't respect him enough to learn his name.
Whatever, I can't remember.
And then he was replaced in the second game with Black Kevin.
Actually, you know who I really want to sleep with? Tali.
She's an option in the second game.
I know she's an option. The Quarian. The one that's always in a mask.
Yeah, right. Chase was saying the same thing.
Oh, I would definitely do her.
I would go for the.
It's like trying to sleep with, who's the fat one from Scooby Doo, the nerd,
Velma.
Yeah, it's like trying to sleep with Velma. Like it can't be that hard. Ashley's like a fucking jock.
Yeah.
We're all missing the true babe of that game. That pink amorphous thing with the tentacles that hangs down in the Citadel.
Preaching the word of the of.
Yeah, I think there could be something there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Definitely has more hands.
Yeah. Fleshlight, are you listening?
they should definitely make a Fleshlight out. Oh man, an alien in half in Mass Effect. That looks like a Fleshlight.
Oh, and Half-Life, the Vortigaunt.
Oh, God. Can you imagine that thing giving you a blowjob?
I can, and I just did.
Ugh.
And it was wonderful.
Louis Gossett Jr.'s voice.
That'd be great. God. Okay.
That's very terrible.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right, so...
You see what happens when we don't come back for a couple of weeks? The quality of the show is just...
So our review so far, we've talked about Fleshlights and sex.
Good podcast
so far.
Vortigaunts. Yeah.
Well, not just any kind of sex.
Vortigaunt
sex. Alien sex.
Excuse me.
Xeno
big
sex.
Difference. Big difference.
All right. So I've been playing, as Josh mentioned, Halo Reach, and I've been playing it every day since its release because they have what are called challenges every single day, and when you complete the challenges, you get credits, and credits are put towards getting armor and stuff. I don't really care about the armor, I don't really care about the credits, but I do the challenges every day, and it's just a fantastic replay strategy because it's working wonders on me. But other than that, Halo Reach is a lot of fun. It's a lot better than the other four games, in my opinion. They've kind of taken everything good and put them all in one game, gotten rid of most of the bad stuff. So, yeah, fun game. I did actually start Mass Effect, but I only played, like, I don't even know if I finished, like, that first training mission.
Have you played it before?
No, I haven't. And here's the reason why. Because 1 year, like, there were a bunch of games that came out as Mass Effect, Fallout,
Mario.
And then, like, some other games, and just, I couldn't spend enough money to get them all, so I ended up putting those on the back burner, and then I got them at maybe like last year for Black Friday, and I got them. I got those two, and then BioShock. I think all for like maybe $30. And I'm just starting to play them.
Nice.
I think I'm more than halfway done with BioShock, and then I started Mass Effect, and I haven't started Fallout yet. But I should do that since New Vegas just came out yesterday. Been playing some Pokemon Heart Gold, trying to catch Ho-Oh with a Pokeball, which is a lot harder than I hoped, but it's gonna happen eventually. Played the Sonic 4 demo for 360. It's pretty fun. You know, it's not perfect, but they're definitely getting closer.
No, don't. I don't understand why anybody's even taking this.
Have you played the demo?
No, and I'm not going to, because it's not gonna be good.
Well, did you like the original three?
Nope, I hate them.
I don't believe you.
They hate them. And also, the graphics are the worst thing in the entire world. And
yeah, the visuals are not that good.
So they.
I mean, it's kind of there. Like they kind of took it back to, like, you know, the classic visuals.
Except
like the
terrible. They
yeah,
had
they did it. They did it wrong.
Better animations in 1994. Why?
Yeah, the animations. The animation is really my main problem with the game so far. It's just it. Ugh. Like, you start off, like, running like a tank. Like, you don't move at all. And, like, you don't actually start, you know, his feet spinning until you've moved way too far. And his feet spinning looks terrible. Jumping looks bad. Really, the only thing I think looks good is when he's in, like, his little spin ball on the ground.
I'm looking at...
Whatever. I mean, that's just the animation, so...
I'm looking at a video on YouTube right now because I haven't...
But Sonic's always been style over substance. So when they can't even make the visuals good... Bad sign, bad game, bad development team, Sega, Sonic
Uh-oh.
Team.
It looks like an N64 game.
I'm curious now, too.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they were going for, but they did it in a bad way.
They were not
so
kind of going for an
N64
game.
It doesn't really look
game.
Intentional.
Nobody wants to look like
an
N64
game. But I mean,
game.
they were trying to do 3D models, but with, like, 2D textures.
I think they were trying to do... Yeah, they were trying to pull off New Super Mario
They were
Mario
trying to make
Brothers.
It look flat but 3D at the same time, right,
but
basically.
It's not looking good. I mean,
yeah,
it
and
looks
New
like
Super Mario Brothers is one of the most visually pleasing games.
I mean,
in
if,
recent
if you
memory.
Like the first three games, if you like the first three games, you'll probably like this one. It's a lot closer. You know, it's a side-scroller, so it's not like Sonic Adventure or Sonic Heroes or any of the newer 3D games, but, you know, it's not perfect, but it's all right. I did play the Force Unleashed 2 demo, which was amazing. It's everything that the first game should have been, so I plan on getting that very soon. It's awesome.
When does the game take place?
Matt's playing antagonist.
When does it take place?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
The first game took place
between like
before
new
yeah, before the fourth before movie, the four. And then this takes place, I think. Maybe not immediately after that, but like maybe a few months or something after the first game.
That's retarded.
So I'm not sure if we're
the story makes
I'm not
no
sure
sense.
In...
Star Wars games are terrible. Nobody should ever make any Star Wars things.
You're
ever
just
again.
A hater, Matt, and you need to go.
No, it really doesn't make any sense.
Do something.
The fact that the guy can pull down a Star Destroyer when Luke Skywalker, the most powerful Jedi, can.
He's not the most powerful Jedi.
Yeah, he is the most powerful Jedi. When you read like the books
Jedi.
And the comics, he's
not even the books
and
the comics,
Jedi.
But everyone, he's the chosen one. He brings balance to the Force. He is the most powerful one. Either him or Yoda. Yoda can barely lift an X-Wing out of a swamp. Okay? And
that was like a few days before he died. Give him a break.
So, still, it's not about... I mean, clearly, the whole point of Yoda in the original trilogy is he's like an old Kung Fu master. He's not young, he's not physically fit, but he is the strongest. That is Yoda. But in the stupid new trilogy, he just does backflips, and then in the new video games and expanded universe stuff, they're like, well, Jedis have like 18 lightsabers, and they can all pull down Star Destroyers, and they're all way better than Luke Skywalker, which doesn't make any sense, and those movies are stupid, and Star Wars is dead to me. And anybody who buys The Force Unleashed is worse than the terrorists, and The Force Unleashed is worse than 9/11,
whoa.
And the...
Whoa.
And that's probably why that person from Rutgers committed suicide.
Whoa.
Well, Matt,
I'm going to have to apologize to you in advance. I don't want to be a terrorist, but it sounds like I am, so.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Things just got real, real.
Oh, that was just, that was too much.
Yeah.
All right. No Adams News Hour this week because there's like 2 months worth of stuff and I don't want to talk about all of it. Hopefully you guys kept up with some stuff. Do you guys have anything like off the top of your head that you want
to
talk about?
Go to Kotaku.
No. Just go to Kotaku.
Yeah, seriously.
That
that's what Adams
that's
News
what
Hour
it has
is.
Been.
It's Kotaku.
You know
it's true. So.
I don't mean to rag on you, buddy.
You know it's bad.
No, just look at Kotaku for the next or for the last 2 months.
You know
you'll
it's
find
bad.
Out
you
what
know,
Adams News Hour would have been.
Would have been.
You know
exactly.
It's bad when Josh is ragging on you about Adams News Hour.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Oh.
Your mother.
My mom.
Is a very nice lady.
She's hot.
She Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we get to our main discussion?
No, let's go right to the topic.
Well, let's talk about our main discussion. We're going to talk about pirates and pirating video games and pirating
software?
Other sorts of electronic media.
This is great. I love this topic. I did a whole class on this topic.
Did you?
Yes. Well, it wasn't specifically geared towards this topic, but this was the topic that I focused to research.
Why didn't you bring this up when we were thinking of topics?
Because I thought you guys only talked about video games.
This is about video games.
Well, I didn't know the discussion extended out towards the legality.
Okay, it doesn't matter what Josh doesn't know. He doesn't know a lot of stuff. He's dumb. Okay? What we are here to talk about is piracy. It's real.
Hey,
it's happening.
Supported your Star Wars rant, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah. Goddamn right you're sorry.
If you ever make a video game,
Josh,
I won't pirate it.
Josh, why don't you start us off?
Where do you want me to start with?
Where'd you start in your research?
Well, piracy really isn't an issue about, oh gosh, I'm ill prepared. It's not like a legal issue. It's an economic issue.
It's an issue of fairness.
You don't think it's both?
Well,
because I mean, technically, it is stealing. I mean, you're not paying for it.
Right, but it's only stealing because of the institution that has been established by those in control, and those in control want to keep themselves in power.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, that's kind of like saying. I mean, you could apply the same thing to like physical things. Like if you go to Walmart, you know, the only reason stealing something is stealing is because it's not free because Walmart doesn't say it's free.
No, but I mean, here's the thing about video games is video games are very expensive to make. So how are they supposed to get returns if I mean,
well, so are plasma screen TVs.
Exactly. So
that's why we don't steal plasma screen TVs.
So why do we steal games?
Some of
us
don't.
I don't steal games. I don't I used to
actually I don't
pirate some things in my younger days. I don't anymore.
Some Kaza Light?
Yeah.
Some.
I always thought it was Kaza.
Yeah, the only thing
I
occasionally pirate now are. Am I allowed to say that?
Mm.
I download TV shows sometimes if I can't watch them on Hulu. Because it's I don't have TV in my room. I pay for cable TV. I don't have a cable hookup in my room, so I can't watch it. But I mean,
interesting.
I still buy TV shows on DVD, and I also watch them on Hulu. And I pay for cable service, so that's kind of a weird, because TV shows are kind of a weird thing. I don't even know if that counts as pirating if you're downloading them.
Well, I mean, there's also an issue.
I mean, it's kind of it's kind of the same.
I mean,
as
it is pirating.
I mean, yeah, well, legally, I guess. But I think that's a different.
I mean, I know people used to consider VCRs pirating, but that kind of died down after VCRs became so popular. But I mean, what do you think? Like, is VCR or DVR nowadays, is that pirating?
No,
because
it's
you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing happened with cassettes when that came out. It was considered piracy just to copy those songs onto a song onto a cassette. And we got that same argument when CD burners came out. We still have that argument with CD burners. I believe the RIAA says that it's illegal just to burn a CD, right? Or just to put it on your computer to alter the form of it when you buy it.
Well, I think...
Right. I mean, there's some very...
Which is a little bit...
very intricate.
That's very obtuse.
Well, I mean, there's stuff... There's laws there about backing up your personal belongings, right? But then once you start, like, handing it out or selling it, then it becomes illegal.
Which is weird because it's not illegal to sell things to, like, a used record store and then have them resell it, which is strange.
Which is, yeah.
That's interesting.
Because they're still not making any money off those record sales.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about.
Well, something GameStop, isn't it?
Yeah, GameStop's not illegal.
And it's actually running into some problem, or it's a very big business for those kinds of, a company like GameStop for resold games, but developers lose out on... They essentially do lose out on extra sales because...
Right, they don't get any of the money.
Yeah, they don't get any profit
games.
From those. Yeah, they
which is
no
why
problem.
Developers are
that
trying to do more
GameStop's.
Things to make people buy new games, like downloadable content, exclusive things that you can only get if it's the first one, you know. Which makes sense... But also is weird that you know, buying and sell, like, if somebody's making money off of it, as long as it's a company, it's like it's legal. Like GameStop, there's...
I mean, it's kind of, if you're going with that, it seems like the more money you have to dish out, like, legally, you know, for, like, lawyers and lawsuits and whatever, then it will eventually become legal.
Yeah. It's just weird to me that everyone's so anti, like, burning CDs, but nobody's... Used record stores have been around for a very long time. And
well, it comes back to Josh's point, right? That those in power... It's really those in power that have this issue with it. And people have every right when they make something, you know, if it's copyrighted and so forth, to demand a price for it. The question is, how effective is it to really go on this crazy ass witch hunt?
Right. Okay. So I'm going back to some of the writing that I did here about it, and according to, I guess what I focused a lot on, well, I guess all it, I mean, it all kind of falls under this umbrella, but according to the IRA's. RIAA.
The Irish Republic.
Yeah. Let's see. Or maybe the MPAA. So online piracy is, and this is quoted from the website, online piracy is the unauthorized uploading of a copyrighted sound recording and making it available to the public, or downloading a sound recording from an internet site, even if the recording isn't resold. Online piracy can now also include certain uses of streaming technologies from the internet. Because of the nature of the theft, the damage is not always easy to calculate, but not hard to envision. Millions of dollars are at stake, not to mention our ability to invest in the next generation of music.
So, I mean, just based on that definition alone, it sounds like iTunes and Hulu would be considered piracy. So why aren't they?
iTunes would, and Hulu wouldn't be, because they are giving... money is exchanged between, you know, if you buy something from iTunes,
the
artist still gets money. Yeah, it goes back to the record
label.
Here's the thing, though. I think there's a little bit... I know there's not a legal difference, but there has to be a difference in the way we think about things between music, movies, and video games. Music doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Record labels are stupid, and we all hate record labels, and they're the only reason why music costs so much and why music is, you know, things are so bad.
Because the man is keeping us down.
Exactly. That's a clear-cut case of the man keeping us down. Because music doesn't cost that much money to make. The main thing that record labels do is just promote things and then take all the money for themselves.
We're still talking about $18 a CD here.
Yeah,
also.
So it's ridiculous. It's stupid.
It's just ridiculous. It's
movies,
overly priced.
Movies cost a lot of money to make. Even if studios were not involved, you have to pay so many people to do so many different things, and the shoots are months long, sometimes years long. And, you know, movies are a lot of different people doing stuff. And same with video games. Those cost a lot of money to just put into production. So that's a case of people investing so much money on it. There has to be a way to have investors and that are going to be assured a return.
I got the impression that one of the reasons why movies didn't necessarily, the movie theft isn't made as big a deal, not nearly as public as like the record industry going after like teenagers, partly because when movies were being provided on DVDs and everybody started having DVDs, they had a little more time to actually like flesh things out and see what happens with the music industry and how they did everything wrong. And the movie industry basically said like, we're not going to screw it up this badly, and found ways of actually enticing people to continue to buy DVDs. Does anybody find that? I mean,
no. Well, kind of extending on that, like, I find it absolutely amazing. Like, for example, Netflix. I mean, you know, a few years back, everybody was saying that like online streaming and digital download was the way of the future, and like DVDs, CDs, basically just physical media was going to die and give way to digital download, and it's just incredible, because I mean that was invented as a form of preventing piracy, and it works. Like, you know, they embraced what people were doing by illegally downloading stuff, and they managed to now manage it and regulate it and make money off of it and make it become like a mainstream form of entertainment.
Totally. And everyone has Netflix.
It's amazing
now.
To me, right, it's amazing to me that they took something illegal and made it perfectly legal and mainstream.
I think most people, and this might be not so naive after all. Most people are fair.
Meaning what?
Meaning that if they think that they could, you know, they will pay for something. They are willing to pay for something. People are willing to pay for media until they think they're screwed over.
Right. I'll agree with that.
When you're paying $18 on average for a new CD, for a CD, mind you, when you can pay $13 for a new DVD or $14 for a new DVD, that has,
or that much for a pack of 100 DVDs.
I mean, we're talking about when Inception comes out, or if it hasn't come out already, I could probably get it for $18 somewhere. And it will have 2 hours of movies, and it will probably have extras on that DVD. And there's a reason for me to buy that DVD, or to go through Netflix to be able to, rent it out digitally or whatnot. The comparison there is, why if I have to make a, choice between which media am I going to buy? Why would I spend $18 on music that's going to last me 46 minutes? And yeah, I could repeat it, but then I could also repeat a two-hour movie repeatedly and get these extras that I could also see whenever the hell I want.
Yeah, it's music.
Well,
pricing
honestly,
is really
like
stupid.
which one are you going to do more? Like, how many times do you watch a movie versus how many times do you listen to a song?
That's not important, though. That it doesn't matter. The whole
you
point
so?
Is that
I think then you start to get into really difficult, like
it's the quantitating the value
yeah.
of it. But
yeah, exactly.
We're going to put it. When we put it into a context, when you're buying an album, you're not really listening to the album. You're listening to a song on the album or a couple songs on the album. There's no, you're not going to listen to the whole thing straight through. For a movie, I may actually do that quite a few times. For a CD, I might do that a couple times. But the point is that the it's not so much how many times you're doing it, it's also what you're also getting out of it. A CD is only giving you audio information, and let's also face it, it's not very high, it's not the highest quality audio. They put it on a CD for crying out loud. They don't put it on a DVD. You know, they could,
well, I mean, you can't, the human ear can't really hear the difference.
CD is, I mean,
they're always uncompressed. People can always encode more frequency.
No, but I mean, it's uncompressed. Like, a lot of people record. I mean, you can record at CD quality, which is, you know, 44.1K. It's stereo.
1411,
it's at 16.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not. The CDs are pretty much as high quality as you're gonna get digital.
Right. I mean, there's not really gonna be a difference between, like, if you were to have an album on a CD versus having an album on a DVD.
True. But let's put it that way. If you're not going to increase it, and you're going to keep the how am I going to put this? If you're not going to increase something, right, you're not going to make something better. So the music hasn't gotten better, and the medium itself hasn't gotten better. Mm-hmm. You can't just keep the price the same when everybody knows that the cost of production is pennies, especially when the technology has been out for 20 years now.
So you're still arguing about movies versus music?
Well, I'm arguing that because also the medium has been around for so long, people are expecting the prices to drop. They have this thing that it should be more cost efficient.
Sure, I mean that makes sense because, you know, like you were saying, it doesn't cost very much to make these discs, but maybe it does cost more to make the movie than it does the music. I think that's kind of straying away from your original argument, which is, like, what do you get out of each media, right?
Well, I mean, when you make the choice, I think when people make the choice, that's what the music industry is competing against. And that's sort of ignoring
It's competing against itself. They're trying to sell
competing against other forms of media also.
They're trying to sell physical copies of this stuff, as well as fighting against digital downloads when that's what everyone wants. And
when you download music from iTunes, does the record company get any of that money, or does it go to, like, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apple has a deal worked out with record labels in order to
They get the money, but they don't want people to do that because they didn't. All the record labels were afraid of digital downloads.
Well, see, the issue, I mean, like, again, so going back to what I was saying earlier about the economic issue, it's because much of copyright law was written before these technologies existed, right?
Yeah.
Before streaming, before digital download, before amateurs could, you know, record their own stuff.
Yeah, which is, you know, exactly the whole point is that
so this old business model can't fit for this, you know, this age, and that's why they're retaliating.
Yeah, it can fit if they change it and make slightly less money, but that's not an option for them.
But that's not an option, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's gotten to the point for the music industry where the label has almost become irrelevant.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
definitely.
The music industry has a lot more to lose here than the movie industry. The movie industry is still going to take a lot of money to produce a movie. And amateurs are going to have a lot harder time to create a very high-quality movie. As opposed to, amateurs can create a very high-quality CD. You know, people, that technology is becoming, not only the technology, you know, with the computer technology and the accessibility of the internet, but people can buy high-quality studio equipment for the fucking basement now, and it's not uncommon to hear this. You don't need, part of the appeal of the record label was that you can get your sound out by recording in a high-quality studio. Well, you can do this, and there are people around that you could do it you know, professionally for a lot cheaper than having to go to a label anymore.
Right. And the label gets you PR and they, you know,
or
you know it, disseminate your music and kind of get you known. But, I mean, with the whole, like, MySpace age that came, you know, in the past, what, decade, half decade, all of that went out the window, you know?
Yeah. And instead of, and it was up to, it, in innovation, the change in technology, it's up to the businesses to change along with what technology is available.
So, right. And that's the issue right now. It's not, it's why, it's, I mean, like, there's no question about it, right? Piracy is illegal. It is against the law.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no getting around it. But I think where the argument lies here is not that it's not legal or should be not legal. It's the economics of all of it, right? It's the power issue. The fact that now we have this age of a prosumer, one in which we're allowed much more options because of the technologies that are available to us. And so those who, again, those who are in power, those who are creating the media are no longer, or they have this like new force to reckon with, and so their business models must be, like Matt was saying, you know, have to be readjusted for that.
Well, and the question really then, and I think you had touched upon this, is how do you deal with it? And the video game, I'm going to sway this back to the video game industry, because different companies deal with it in different ways. It's actually, the game industry is one of the more interesting things to look at for piracy, because as opposed to movies...
Before you, Alex, get into this, I just want to mention that, like, I think both the movie industry and the music industry have found, maybe not the perfect solutions, but at least workable solutions to piracy. Like I said, you know, Hulu, Netflix, iTunes, that kind of stuff. But
I think the movie,
video games.
I think the movie and television industry are set. They're doing great right now. The music industry is dying. Every month they are losing stock and less people are buying CDs. And let's face it, okay, people are buying music from iTunes. But the industry is not doing so.
Yeah,
no,
the record
so
labels are.
The record labels are falling apart.
What that means is that there'll be less super rich pop stars.
Well, those songs
and
are. Yeah.
Less super rich record executives.
No, and that's definitely true.
Yeah, so that's all that means, though.
That's all that's happening right now. And they're kicking and screaming. But we're already seeing a shift in music in itself, right? The types of music that's becoming, well, pop is still popular, but there's pop. Yeah, you know, your Justin Bieber's or whoever the fuck that is now. they're still around, but we're seeing a really large a surge in indie rock, in folk rock, in these more undergroundish places that you can get the music from anywhere. And in fact,
right, I mean, like, one of my favorite websites is Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just like an amazing resource for online music.
Yeah, check out Matt,
the artists themselves.
Check out mattkimball.bandcamp.com. It's my Bandcamp website.
There you go. Shameless self plugging there.
I have no shame.
But
like this is kind of straying away from the main topic, but do you think that has something to do with the people who are making music now are, like, have the same mentality as we do, as, you know, like, perhaps they've pirated stuff in the past, and they kind of understand, you know, where we're coming from, you know?
Oh, sure.
They don't want to pay $20
oh,
for
yeah.
CDs.
Oh, definitely.
So.
And the approach has been, a lot of small artists have loved the advent of MP3s, because what they end up doing is, they put on two or three songs as free MP, you know, free MP3s they give out on their website, and if people,
it's like, it's free PR is what it is.
It's free PR, and if people then if people like it, they buy CDs, and that's what ends up happening. People are inherently fair. They're not going to go out, and most people are not going to go out trying to scam you. What they'll do is they'll try it out. If they like it, man, they will go. They will get it. They will, like, actually pay for it.
I mean, and the perfect example of this is, like, the Radiohead Name Your Own Price CD that was released, right? They, in fact, made more money from that methodology, you know, than if they had, you know, went the conventional route of like going through the record label and, you know, going through the motions. And so there you have it, right? I mean, so it's these artists are beginning to understand, they do understand, not that they never understood before, but they are understanding where technology is going and how, like, where the market is going. And so you have to become flexible. And the issue that these industry heads are having is that they cannot be flexible because they're too set in their ways.
Well, they're not willing to cut their losses.
Exactly.
And at some point, and any industry that's unwilling to change in the face of an ever-evolving society, whether it's through technology or beliefs or culture, they're going to die. They become extinct, essentially. And I see the music industry becoming that way.
Okay, but video game piracy.
Video games.
Yeah, so no, but we see like different approaches with video games.
Here's the problem with video games is that...
So I'm less familiar with this, so I'd like to hear your
guys. Pirating video games is tough because video games are very expensive, but also as where you pirate some music, right? You pirate music, and then maybe... let's say theoretically you're going to buy the album, and so you pirate it, so the record label loses $10, right? Video games, you pirate the video game. Also, they were counting on the, like, video games not only have to make the product and then make the video game, but usually they have multiplayer where they have to pay for servers, you know, patches, updates, things like that, where everything's connected online now. So all these things are like the
right.
They're not done with the game when they're done with the game.
Right. Yep. There's still a payroll going.
So that's why, but video games are also, going to digital downloads as well. Like, every console has digital downloads.
Well, whereas, like, I think movies and such have kind of, like, I guess it's more consumers. Consumers have stopped pirating and more doing, like, Netflix-type stuff, paying for it, like, legally. I think...
You think so?
Well...
I mean,
if
I don't watch a movie in a theater, I can tell you one thing, I'm not Netflixing it.
Well, you don't have Netflix.
Yeah, right. There's a reason
but
why.
It'd be very easy for me to get Netflix, but I don't.
Okay,
do
so.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, okay, sure. With video games, like, I think the digital download is really kind of hurting it. More so than digital downloads for movies or music. Because, like, if you make something purely digital, then it's that much easier to hack it and upload it to the internet and have people download it.
Well, I mean, right? We should go back a little bit, because video game piracy goes way far earlier than what we're mentioning now. You know, I remember when games...
The first video game pirates.
Well, the first video game pirates. You remember those 3.5 floppies? I remember copying 3.5 floppies.
Yeah, you guys ever seen that video? Don't copy that floppy. It was a... it's no. A music video. That's great.
Nice.
But, there were games like... back when, like, Descent... Like, I was a... was the first games to come out on CD? Were like... Descent 1 came out on CD and Doom 2 came out on CD. They weren't copy protected. Everybody was everybody was copying
this
the game.
This is a little bit afterwards. You could do stuff like StarCraft, right?
Yeah, StarCraft didn't have any. I think StarCraft you could. There's no copy protection. But there was always the passing of, you know, somebody bought a CD. Their friends wanted to get the game. You burn the game. You give it to the friend. Oh, we're going to have this. We'll have this available also. So piracy has always been in existence. The addition of copy protection made it harder in some ways. But once you figure out how to do the cracks, then it's easy enough to steal the game.
Honestly. I think video games are so... I mean, video games are so obviously technologically advanced. They're on the cutting edge of technology. That video game companies have pretty much embraced digital... They've done everything they can to combat piracy. They can't stop it. You can't stop it completely. Video games have done a great job of things like Steam, even things that suck, like EA's download service, are better than nothing. Well, they're better than like the music industry, you know, going after Napster. It's not one of those things.
There are certain circumstances where, you know, even like the major companies like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft actually just randomly go after individuals, and, you know, they get sued for millions of dollars.
Well, usually in that case, they are duplicating games
and selling them.
Yeah, which is totally, that's totally understandable. When people are duplicating your games and selling them,
versus
illegally downloading them.
Yeah, there's a difference between actually selling something you copy versus having it for yourself.
Just using it for yourself.
Yeah.
There was a big, you know, there was a big argument before video game, before downloadable content, before DLC. People have emulators. People have ROMs. This should not be shocking anybody. So you can play if I have an NES back in the day, and I had Contra and Super C, and there's no way I have my NES working anymore, but I still bought those games back in the day. Does that make me entitled to actually get the emulator and to actually play the ROM?
Which is also things like no CD cracks are kind of like a legal gray area either. Well, actually, they're supposed to be. That's like something you're not supposed to do, and they're like illegal, which doesn't make any sense because they're so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, downloading something that says you don't have to put in the CD every time you play your own computer game is obviously a big time saver. And but, you know, some companies were angry, but then some companies also released official ones.
Yeah, I mean, especially PC gaming is notorious for this. There's no denying that piracy is killing the PC game. Piracy is killing PC gaming, period. It's not very profitable. But on the other hand, part of the reason is this arms race, this sort of copy protection arms race that's been happening. The worst that, I would say, like the peak of how bad it's gotten has been EA has put some sort of copy protection so that what the hell was it?
You're talking about Ubisoft, the Assassin's Creed thing?
No, EA had this too, because there's a reason why I ended up buying Mass Effect through Steam, and I read what they originally had. Like, if you were to buy the game, EA had a policy where once you installed the game, something online would constantly check every 5 days whether this thing is still on your computer or something, to make sure like your computer had to be online and it had to send something to EA, and if it didn't happen, the game would automatically not run anymore. So, for instance,
I think kind of the same thing happened with Arkham Asylum for PC, because I remember like people were saying hacked copies of it basically wouldn't work. Like, if the creators put this in, but like, you know, people would be walking through walls or like get trapped outside of the geometry or stuff.
I don't know about that. I didn't hear about that.
That's the stupid thing about that kind of copy detection is that if you want to play your game offline, it becomes impossible.
Yeah,
and if you're without a internet connection, then you just don't get to play your game that you bought. So it's like, did you actually buy the game, or are you leasing it from the company, which just becomes retarded. And
so Arkham Asylum has, the way it's currently set up is Windows Live. You have to have a Windows Live account, and that's free, but it means I have to be online to play the damn game. Now there's ways.
That's dumb.
There is a way around it, but it means I have to actually go to my directory file and fix it.
It means illegally modifying the game's code.
Yeah,
which you're not supposed to do.
Well, if you there's
a legal way of doing it. There's a legal way of doing it. Where it doesn't change.
Well, you're modifying the game's code. If you're
it's not
doing something like that. It's usually always like illegal, technically.
But how is that how is that considered illegal if you
there's
own
an option?
The game?
There's an option on the screen. Like you have to actually go onto the Windows Live screen, and there's a random link you have to go to. A series
okay,
of
well,
links.
If it's something like that, but I mean, like when you're like it's the same thing as a no CD crack when you're.
Mm-hmm. For a new CD crack, you're actually altering the code. This isn't an alteration of the code. This is sort of, this is actually, you have to manipulate the game a little bit, which is sort of ridiculous that you have to do, it's like climbing through hoops just to fucking play the game you play.
Yeah, like Steam.
But then you have to be online.
Yeah.
You have to have internet in order to play it offline.
Steam is actually nice because you can play the games while you're offline.
Yeah, Steam has an offline mode, which used to have bugs, but now
I never had. See, I actually never had the bug.
Me neither. But
I think, Steam is constantly being fixed, so it's actually very nice. But, but some of these other like EA's option was terrible. There's no way I was going to buy a game like that. Spore did terribly because of that, and it actually encourages more people to pirate. You know, it's counterintuitive. It encourages more people to pirate because the people buying your game to begin with. They're gonna buy it anyway. Mm-hmm. But the people buying your game are doing so on the faith that they're gonna get the game. To get it online for free, everybody can do that. Everybody knows how to do that. Everybody knows how to get the ISO and make a CD image. They know how to fucking do that. It's no longer become, if your friend has the copy, you can give it to them. It's so ubiquitous that putting this copy protection is almost archaic.
No, all it does is inconvenience everyone who's actually buying it.
It punishes the people that actually buy the game. And that means that the customer has less faith on the actual corporation that is giving you the game. Why am I going to buy an EA game if they are blatantly going to put this stupid shit on to begin with? You know, I can get it for free right now. I don't have to go out and buy the damn thing. I don't even have to know somebody that owns the game. I know an anonymous person online has it, and I can get it for myself.
Which is what somebody would say. That's not what Alex is saying.
No, I haven't done that mostly because... No, I definitely haven't done it because, of course, viruses and there's consequences to it.
Yeah.
And there's also a moral issue.
I, for one, don't pirate things because I believe in giving my money to media... I support. That's why.
That's the right way of looking at it because it's so incredibly disappointing to see like you know AAA, any type of media, game, movie, music, whatever, but like people pirate it. And I mean, you know, it's good that they're enjoying it, that they do want to have it, but then you're not showing your support to this company. You're not saying, "Oh, hey, I like your thing. Make more of this," or like. You know, you're not rewarding them for a job well done. You're just kind of...
Well, I was saying earlier that it seems like the video game industry is still on the ropes on how to handle this, really. Mostly PC gaming. Because they don't really know how to really deal with... they don't really know how to deal with the piracy. Valve handles it one way. Valve handles it in a way that... It makes it so that, look, you bought the game, you have every right to play the game. Anywhere you play, you can buy it, you can download the game anywhere, as long as you have the internet connection. And once you have the game downloaded, you can play the game whenever you want, whenever you want. You don't have to be online for it. On the other hand, you have EA and I think Ubisoft. What was Ubisoft's?
Well, it was like if you had to be online at all times while playing it, and like Assassin's Creed had this big thing where if you went offline in the middle of the game, it would shut the game down and you'd lose your save or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. Like it was terror, or it was Assassin's Creed 2, I think.
So
I don't know.
You get punished. You know, in that case, the rules are so strict that
yeah, and the people who are pirating the games have found ways around it.
Once the game is pirated once, it spreads like wildfire. And so, I sort of see no point in almost having, like, you know, crackable CDs. And let's also be very clear here. A friend of mine, who will remain unnamed, has a cracked Xbox 360. Now, he can't play 360 games online. But you can get around that. You could buy two 360s And for one of them, you could play all these crack games. And if he doesn't play much online, if he wanted to do that, he could just merely play it on his other Xbox 360. And the cost is immediately offset, right? If a system is, how much is it now? 300?
Yeah, because I mean, like the rule of thumb is, you know, a system. You buy a system, it's worth it when you buy the amount of games that equal the price of the console.
Exactly.
I mean,
so we're talking about so if it's $300 for Xbox 360, all you
plus
need,
however many games you want.
Well, so
I mean, it's just $300 flat.
It's $300 flat. Well, you're going to pay for that. That cost will be offset once you have 5 single player games. And I can name 2 right off.
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry. I was talking about like a crack modded 360.
Yeah, I mean, if you know how to mod it yourself, that's even fucking better. And when you know where to download it from, which people do, that's even far better. But consoles are still, the console market is still alive, even with all the modding and so forth. People have found ways around it, but the market's still there. Iwata said something earlier. Iwata said something about piracy, where Nintendo's stance is, look, piracy is bad, but we can't say that our sales are doing poorly because mm-hmm. of piracy.
Right, and I think that's one of the big issues, is that everybody makes it out to be this, you know, really big thing, ethically and economically. Ethically, it's, I guess that's up to the individual, but economically, it's really not as bad as people make it out to be.
I don't know about that.
Like you said, Iwata. Well, you don't think so?
On consoles, at least. On consoles, it's really no effect on sales.
Because, I mean, I've seen some, like, directors and movie producers say, you know, the pirating didn't really affect the sales of their movies.
I think it's more of how it's being handled. Like the philosophy of like what's going to happen, how you treat the consumer is what it really is.
What do you mean?
Do you make an example out of them, or
the moment you have an adversarial relationship with your consumer is the moment that the consumer starts turning on you and they don't find a reason to actually buy the game. Mm. You know, if they don't want it, they don't have to get it. I don't have to buy Mass Effect. I don't have to buy an Xbox 360 and play these games. I don't have to get these things if I don't want them. But hell, if I can get them for free, I am going to get them. You know, that's that mentality that starts creeping in. In Nintendo's case, they have every right to go after people that, you know, buying at illegally copying their games. They don't have poor sales. They've proven that, like, you have to extend your market out and you have to gain the trust of people to buy your product.
Well, okay, Iwata comes out and says that, but at the same time, they're also region locking, say, like the DS,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, updates periodically for the Wii that brick or stop modded consoles.
Yeah, which is legitimately fair. They want to stop illegal transfers, which is fine. They're not blaming bad sales on pirates. I think that there's a distinction between the two things.
Sure.
They don't want it to happen. They know it's happening, but they're not going to say that their sales suck because of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good company mentality to have, simply because you're not going to convince people otherwise. What are you going to do? You're going to complain about pirates? What are they going to do? We'll feel bad for that company. Let's start buying their games. That's not what's going to happen. You face up to the fact, like, look, what do we have to do in order to get out ahead in this market, in this society, in this information age, and how do we come out on top and make money? And I think that's what Nintendo is really looking at, as opposed to EA, which is looking at, like, these guys are stealing our product and we're taking a hit. we got to go after all of them. We got to stop that from happening. That's the mentality these some of these other companies have, such as EA and Ubisoft.
I'm a little naive to the whole video game situation, but is piracy as huge an issue in the video game industry as, say, I would imagine it being in the movie and music industry?
I think
for
in terms
PC,
of what do you mean,
for PC games,
what do you mean
definitely.
By huge?
For PC gaming, it's very large.
Okay. So I mean, but what I mean by huge is like it's extensive.
So a lot of people do it.
A lot of people do
in
it.
In PC gaming, it's extremely extensive, which sort of makes sense, right?
Because to
be able to play PC games requires some level of understanding of how computers work.
Right.
And
right.
To be able to, once you understand how computers work, like, you have to be able
if you like computer games, you're going to go to online forums, and everybody at online forums knows how to do this stuff.
Well,
not only that,
I mean, there's a point where to be able to play a game on PC is more than just plugging something in and putting a game in and then hitting the install button. There is troubleshooting that you have to be aware of.
Unless you're playing Farmville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless you're playing Farmville.
Guys,
well,
I pirated Farmville.
My whole like grasp of the situation was that because video games were an inherently a different kind of medium, right? It's still a sort of like this digital screen-based thing, but it's interactive. And so there's a different kind of incentive for purchasing. Right. Whereas with music and movies, you know, if I think the movie is gonna suck and I don't want to pay for it, you know, I'm gonna pirate just to watch it for free, and you know,
that's what somebody else would say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
That's not what you're doing.
Not you specifically.
No. Not me. Never. Scout's honor. But my point is that with video games, the way I looked at it was that. Because you get DLC, because there is online gaming, because there, you know, all these things that sort of like parts of the experience that you would lose if you were to just copy the game. I figured that, you know,
I don't think
video game piracy
everything
wasn't
can be
as big.
No, for PC everything can be pirated, DLC can be pirated, everything. There's no way they can stop that. And there's
console gaming, some of it can actually be.
It's the same thing as like ripping a DVD. You know, you get an image, and you're, you know, if you have a modded console,
you have
you're
to mod
to
your console. Console games are way too hard to pirate for it to ever become extensive.
I'd agree with that.
It would require,
for now at least.
Yeah, for now.
It's not purely software. There's some hardware alterations that actually have to be made. And
right, so there's no, it's not worth it to so many people. So, PC games are easy to pirate.
However, I mean, like, going back to what you were saying earlier, is that, you know, games are, you know, 5-6 times more expensive than, like, DVDs or CDs.
They're also 5-6 times longer in some cases.
That's true.
As Josh had put it, the amount, what your experience is completely different, but the cost is also offset. There is an increase in cost for 20 to 40 hour experience.
Right. I mean, you yourself were talking about this earlier, Adam, with like the amazing thing that Halo did is that their replay strategy, right? That they say like replay value, right, of the game is, I mean, their strategy for making that good, the replay value of the game good, is amazing. I mean, it is. I come over here to play the game, so, you know, that a lot, because it's just really great, you know, and the challenges and all that stuff like that. So, I think the experience, I think what Alex was getting at earlier in the podcast about, like, the value of the experience, like, how many times are you really going to watch that movie? How many times are you really going to listen to, I mean, let alone the whole album, you know, one or two songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And there's definitely that going on also, I mean, with games. How many times are you going to replay the game?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to really be playing Mass Effect again after I put the 40 hours into it? I don't really know. I mean, maybe. But, you know, you could try a different character and try all different things. How many times are you going to play Heavy Rain to see if Scott Shelby is the origami killer?
You know, Josh hadn't played that game, and you guys spoiled it.
That's fine. Well, who gives a shit?
It's okay. I think they spoiled it in a different podcast. So,
but the yeah. idea there is that you know, you, Adam, this is a question I asked you before. Like, what kind of you would go back and play that game and try something different and get so many more hours out of it, whereas I would actually try doing it the best way possible, only, you know, to get the best outcome. And I would only just do it once. Well, and once I do it, I'd be like, well, that's it.
You think, though, for a game that you knew had so many different outcomes, you would still just play it once? Like even Mass Effect.
Well, it depends on... For Mass Effect, I'm seeing that I wouldn't... Like, I wouldn't go back to play the game just to... The only reason I would play the game again is to sleep with Ashley.
So you're playing it as yourself. So, like, all of these choices you're making based on your ethics, and you wouldn't go back and say, you know, be a bad guy.
Yeah, I have no interest in that. I have no interest in playing because I know you can do it, and I know that there's these arbitrary consequences that will result from it. But I don't really... Like, if I really wanted to do that, I'm not going to spend another 40 hours for it. I'm probably going to just look up online what happens.
Okay.
Guys, and that's just me.
I think this is running a little long.
I think you're running a little long.
I'm going to give this a definitive statement by Matt to wrap everything
Matt's
up.
Matt's definitive statement.
On piracy.
On piracy.
You know... People will always pirate games. Not much you can do to stop it. What you have to do is encourage people to actually buy the games and offer incentives to people to actually buy the games instead of trying to punish everyone who steals the games, unless it's a case of somebody selling it out of the back of their car. You know, sketchy situations like that, definitely punish them.
That's fair.
Shoot them. Execute. Right. Dead. You know, their families burned.
Yeah, I found this box of games that dropped off the back of a truck. You know, that kind of thing.
You're dead.
I think if whatever punishment you decide to put or whatever restrictions, it should only be restricted to the people that are being dishonest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't be to the people that are actually being fair.
Copy protection. You know. You always online. That's the only way you can play it. That only inconveniences the people who are paying for the game. It's just annoying. That's what's decreasing your sales.
I think also too an important note to make, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Matt, but
no, fuck you.
Those who are getting punished should not be getting punished as sort of examples to be made of.
No, they should be getting punished as you are breaking the law. This is what happens to everyone who breaks the law. That is why laws are in place.
But what happens with people who are being convicted of copyright infringement and stuff is that they are being charged for, you know, exorbitant amounts of money such and such person has caused my company to lose this
stupid,
much money.
That's stupid.
Like, that's ridiculous.
It's basically pointing at everyone and going, "You're next," which is great way for everyone to live in fear, which is what we should be doing. Everyone, please be scared. You are next.
Yeah.
You will be sued.
But the problem with that is, though, they get how many people do they catch? Like,
not very many.
It's very rare.
It's actually a small... Like, if you were... Let's say 1,000 people. How many people are actually copying music in total?
Obviously everybody in the world.
Like, we're talking billions. We're talking... Like, the percentage of... The percentage you will get caught, if you're a little bit safe, is almost infinitesimally small. Like...
Which is why it's stupid. Yeah, and all it's doing is ruining one guy's life. And he's like, oh man, I really shouldn't have downloaded that Weezer album.
Yeah.
Oh, oops. Well, he sort of deserved.
Nobody's going, no, I'm never going to copy music because it's clearly some people
are
getting
caught. But it does scare some people off. I mean, obviously not the majority, but
yeah,
it does
but
work.
Exactly. So it doesn't. It's not affecting anybody. It's stupid. Piracy. You know what, kids? Don't do it. It's bad, but you should not be doing it.
This is your brain.
You should not be doing it for moral and ethical reasons, because people deserve to be paid for their work. However, you shouldn't be scared into not doing it.
Because hey, you shouldn't.
No fear, no regrets, no secrets. Secrets
out. Screw the man.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, Josh. Like, this up earlier.
I was trying to end this.
No. It was just,
too bad.
No, but it's a legitimate question. You were saying before, like, if it was a movie that you weren't going to watch anyway, but you're sort of a little bit curious about, you know, you can see how somebody would download a movie to do so, or maybe a game or some music, correct?
Right, right.
Let's put it this way. If that option wasn't even available, would you have even looked at it?
Probably not.
Would you? Because especially as a college student,
definitely not.
Would you spend the money? Yeah, like, well, you had the choice of watching it or pay $10 to see it. You wouldn't do it, right?
No.
So, I mean, that's where it gets very complicated in terms of how much money are these people really making or really losing?
I don't know, guys. Right. It's hard. It's hard to be an actor in Hollywood, you know.
Yeah,
you're only making a couple million a year. How are you supposed to support yourself on that kind of money?
And I have my own, like, philosophical sort of questions about, like, being paid for your work or being paid for intellectual property. And that's a whole
other
conversation.
And nobody wants to hear them from you. So I say we go into emails.
We'll call it.
I think I think
not yet.
Wait, before we end the issue, some good movies to watch. Some good movies to watch.
Social Network.
Social Network.
No, that's in my top three movies about piracy. He pirated some girls' pictures, put them on the internet, and rated them hot or
and
not.
Got billions of dollars.
And look where he is now.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, control of the free world. So a good some good documentaries to watch about this issue. Good Copy, Bad Copy, which I think if you Google it, it's free and available for download online. Very, very good movie, and looks at copyright infringement on an international level. RIP, the Remixers Manifesto, is also a good documentary surrounding specifically girl talk as a musician and copyright infringement in the world of the music industry. And also Mickey and Me, which targets specifically Disney's sort of witch hunt against those who appropriate Disney characters for, like, artistic purposes.
Yeah, Disney's retarded.
So those are three pretty good movies that you could watch. And I believe they're all free. At least I downloaded them all for free. And I don't think I did. I didn't, like, you know, go
you
through any.
You didn't do so illegally.
I didn't do so illegally.
This time.
But really, right. Guys.
So, yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more to talk
about. Everyone should be out there
is,
watching Secretariat. She pirated that horse. made an illegal copy. And it won a lot of races.
Right.
All right. So, exactly. I think we're done with this topic for tonight. Alex, did you want to tell us about your dating life?
I thought Josh wanted to talk about his dating life.
Fuck no, I do not want to
talk
about
dating life. No. You talk about your dating life, and I'll talk about my dating life.
Ooh. I do not want to talk about my dating life. I've talked about my dating life enough.
No. Come on. I'll talk. Look, I had a revelation.
You know what there is to talk about? Nothing, because it's not existent.
Okay, Josh. Josh.
Come on.
Just answer me this. Have you used your alien fleshlight more recently? more recently or less recently? Usage has gone up.
Did she break your heart? Did she break your heart, or did you break her heart?
I think it was mutual.
Oh, heartbreaker, Josh! You're right here.
Josh, what's her name?
Look out, ladies.
What's
her name?
You don't need to say that.
Yeah.
First,
you had me bleep out your little crush's name.
That's true.
Cup size. I'd rather not. Size.
And it's a lot.
Complicated
situation.
Cup size.
It's a complicated situation.
She have big boobs?
Does she have boobs?
Yes.
So she is a woman.
She is, in fact, a woman.
Does she have two X
good.
Chromosomes?
Okay. Emails, guys.
wait. So my revelation is I'm going to be single for the rest of my life.
Oh, come on.
And I'm happy.
Think positive.
Oh, my God.
I am thinking positive.
Emails. Dini D. He emails us on September 11th. Guess he didn't have anything better to do that day.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Says, hello.
Wow, unpatriotic.
Hello, yeah. Friends. RE Podcast 35. 3D movies suck, especially if you wear glasses to begin with. At this point in time, I think it's a good idea with their poor execution. So D&D not so hot on the 3D movies. And then he puts RE Podcast 36. I had wanted to see Scott Pilgrim, but unfortunately it's not in my theater anymore.
That is just criminal.
You blew it. But it is going to be on Blu-ray.
It's coming
and DVD.
Out November 9th.
Which is 9th, less than 2 months.
Save the date.
Right? Or less than
less
3 months.
Than 1 month?
It's about 3 weeks.
Oh, from when it
came
from
out.
When it released in theaters.
Oh, yeah. Right. That was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
And the Blu-ray has a shit ton of extras. So.
Yeah, like four commentary tracks.
Player,
yeah, definitely. RE Podcast 37. As long as the music is good, who cares if it's 8-bit MIDI / orchestrated?
There you go.
Actually, that's a good point.
Then he wrote, see ya.
See ya.
Any responses to Dini
D? Good email.
Dini D, great email. Thanks for listening.
I like the last one. As long as it's good, man, you know.
Just go with the flow.
Piracy. The flow, you know, if you're getting a good game, who cares if you're paying for it, right?
Yeah.
Dini D.
Exactly.
It can be applied to anything.
Yeah, Dini D. Thanks for encouraging.
I think he's just found our new life philosophy.
Okay, now Noah Harned. Okay, you're going to read this one? You're actually on top of the game
now?
I'll
read this one. Is this the same guy? He keeps on fucking emailing all the time.
He's like our biggest fan, man. Jesus, he actually mentions that, too.
What?
Since you guys at the Zelda Working Podcast are feeling down, I send in an email. First, I want to tell the other viewers to send in emails because I'm the only one who sends stuff in.
I think you're the only listener.
I'm going to give Scott Pilgrim a chance and hopefully see it this weekend. Good. I didn't mean to break your heart, Adam. Well, you did. It's too late.
Keep in mind, this is September 14th. September 14th.
Yes. Long time ago. I guess I'm your friend, Matt, because I'm not going to buy Metroid Other M. You may be Matt's friend, but you're not my friend.
Good, because that game's a pile, and I read Adam's stupid review for it, and still not convinced.
Oh, yeah, my review is finally up on Nerd Mentality. You know, over a month late, but whatever. All right, questions. Why hasn't Laura been on the podcast? And I really miss hearing from Nick. Yes, I'm still a fan. Laura hasn't been on the podcast because she has a life, I guess. She likes the party. She's a grandmother. You know, she goes to sleep at like 7 o'clock at night.
And she has grandkids.
Wakes up at the crack of dawn, milks the cows, gets the chicken from the eggs, from the chicken, other way around.
She's going to hear you say this and you're going to regret this.
Yep.
Nah.
That's okay.
And Nick.
Wah,
Matt, what's Nick doing?
What, Nick? He doesn't have a place of his own. He's staying with a friend, Alex, San Francisco, and he's just...
Different Alex.
Yeah, different Alex. And he is just going to school, living life. He doesn't have a...
He's living the dream.
He doesn't have a place of his own, so he can't really be isolated for the podcast.
He is a man with no ties.
Yeah, he's off the grid.
A vagabond.
Nobody can find
him.
An
island.
A hobo.
He's homeless. Nick is
definitely
homeless.
He's a rogue.
Yes. All right, question two. I think we could have a whole topic dedicated to this once we get to play it more. What's your guys' view on the PlayStation Move? I think PlayStation shouldn't go into that realm of gaming. It sort of pisses me off.
Yeah, I'll save that one later.
Will has a Move, and I've played it a little more. And I like it, but I think once we all get to play it, we could talk about that a lot. So
that will be a podcast topic soon.
I'm not going to play it, so...
Well, you're a loser.
I'm not going to drop. I'm not dropping $500 to get a fancy fucking...
Yeah, well,
you don't know anybody with the PS3?
No. I don't know anybody with a PS3 that's getting a Move. Nobody I know is interested in a fucking Move. They all have Wiis.
Anyway, continue.
All right, we'll talk about that later. All right, number three. Also, I think you should have a contest, and whoever wins gets to be on the podcast. I think this would be a great way to get people to send emails in.
No.
No.
He's just trying to get on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
All right, number four. Also, I think people stopped because you kept insulting them. I think that's why they listen, honestly.
Wait, what happened?
It's the tough love.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
The tough love.
What's number five, Matt.
I hated the podcast in the beginning. Now I love it. Look at that.
Good. Matt, you said you would do a soundtrack for free. I would like some background music for my YouTube videos to play when I talk. Get in touch with me Get in touch with me if you're interested.
I'm just gonna say
podcasts.
I never got in touch with him.
One more line. All right, one more line. Keep up the great podcast, and at least you know you have one listener who cares. Thank you.
But I'm just gonna put this out there. I never got in touch with him, so that shows how interested I was.
Ouch.
Ooh, he's right. Not gonna listen ever again.
And we've just lost our last one.
That's okay.
Ian sent in a photo.
A piece of crap.
I mean, it's a skull with a green to purple gradient.
I think they have this tattoo at the Mexican restaurant near my house, I think. You can pay 50
Creative
cents
with Halloween
tattoo.
Skull. So I guess that's like an app for the iPhone, maybe? I don't know.
Thank you.
And then he sent in another one. Update. It raping time, you better believe it.
I was sent from my iPod at the bottom. Thanks for that, Ian.
Yep.
I believe that it's raping time.
It's raping time?
Why would I not believe that?
The cat rapists.
Two cat rapists.
Whatever happened to the cat rapists?
They still exist.
Anal rapist?
The anal rapist. So guys, you should definitely email us in. I think emailing us about this topic would actually be pretty interesting because obviously, you know, there's a lot to talk about. We could talk about this for maybe probably two more hours. WTpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and one lucky person will be on the podcast who emails us in, or it might just be us again because we don't want to talk to any of you.
Could we not have...
Not because you're not interesting, not because you're not funny... Not because... Actually, yeah, that's why.
We should automate...
Actually, no, there's only room for one uninteresting person on this podcast, and it's me, so fuck off.
Yeah, we've already got Alex and Josh. I mean, like and Adam.
So far, people.
Adam, Alex,
oh,
and Josh.
Putting
us all to sleep.
You're heartbroken there, Adam?
Bastard.
You're heartbroken?
I think your mom thinks you're boring, too.
Oh.
Double whammy. God.
Man.
Bash Adam Knight. All right.
I love you, Adam.
Wait, seriously, though. Can we just not have
Noah
on the show?
Huh?
Can we just not have Noah on the show? Just prevent him from being on the show ever?
Yeah, everybody else, you can join in the podcast all at once.
Everybody else has a chance, you know, except Noah Harned.
Oh, God. All right. Forums. Go to tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. Same place. Email us again, wtpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter page is ZeldaWTPodcast. Matt, did you ever update that?
What do you mean? Did I ever...
You said that you were going to update our Twitter page with your daily antics.
Yeah. I never... It turns out I don't have very many antics. And also, I'm very lazy.
You should get some.
I think of funny things to say, and then I'm like, and then I have to pull up this app for. By then,
the moment passes.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And I'm like, oh wait,
maybe
I got
in the future.
I got this fleshlight alien here, and.
There you go.
All right. Facebook page, Zelda Working Title Podcast. Guys, like us, follow us, email us, rate us on iTunes, and just do it over and over and over. And keep on listening to us, because we like to talk, and apparently you guys like to listen, so. Anyway,
and
it was fun.
Apparently they don't.
Shut up, Josh. God. Buzz Killington over here. Hopefully...
Do you know why the cold, Miller?
Shut up. Hopefully we'll actually stick to our weekly thing from now on, so. Next Wednesday, we'll see you guys. Thank you, Josh.
I think we'll probably get these out on... Alex. Not on Wednesday, but on Friday.
Oh, yeah, we're recording on Wednesday, but... Anyway. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Good night.
Yeah, just go. All right, going. Good.
Okay, good. That's
better.
Good. It's only recording mono, though, so I'll have to...
Wait, why was...
It's all right. Well, no, it's not like... Oh, yeah.
Fine.
Are you recording with two microphones, like some kind of crazy... George Martin's producing your podcast audio.
Yeah, exactly.
5.1. There's five dicks.
Wait, hold on! This podcast's only in mono. I'm not listening to this.
What the fuck?
What happened?
What kind of Muppet show are you guys running over there at Zelda Working Title Podcast?
Mono podcast.
Mono
it sounds
podcast.
Like a disease.
So wait, is Jason like the videographer for this? Or is
I
this...
think he is. I'm wondering how he landed that job, because I wouldn't mind doing that. Oh, hey, I get to go to
so
parties
what,
for video games and edit their movies.
And bang Sasha Gray.
Who made this game?
I don't know.
Can we just talk?
Ubisoft looks like they published it.
It sounds kind of dumb, actually.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just... What? It's just
oh.
DDR, right?
Basically. It looks like he's working for Daily Phil, which I guess is a web news site.
Oh, okay, whatever. Anyway...
Good for him.
Okay, let's start. Let's start.
Let's
start.
Yeah, let's get on with the show. Let's do this thing. Come on.
All right. Do.
Is this gonna be hard to?
Adam, what the fuck are you doing?
Is mine since mine's starting later? Is it gonna be hard to sync up with yours?
No, don't worry about it.
Okay.
All righty.